I challenge people to not write about listings and open houses and sold so much. And it's okay to share those. But I think what people really want to get when they open their mail is good news and something fun and something interesting and something that they can then over dinner say to their partner, hey, did you hear this? I heard this today, or I learned this. You know, we all want that something interesting to talk about with people around us. Those are some helpful hints to get started. You know, just not put pressure on yourself to market like you speak and to start simple.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Today, my guest joins us from Canada. She's an international keynote speaker, coach and trainer for the real estate industry and is known mostly for her straightforward style and her brilliant sense of humor. So welcome to the show, Valerie Garcia.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It feels like it's ages since I've actually seen you face to face. It might have been at Inman a couple of years ago. I remember we were just checking out of the hotel and I'd had my phone stolen. So I was probably a bit like, how am I going to get home without my phone?
Yeah. I feel like it's been a couple of years at least.
Yeah. You're based in Canada, but you actually used to be in real estate in Australia. So can you give us a bit of background on Valerie Garcia for the people that don't go to Inman and don't know who you are?
Sure. I'll give you the short version. I am 22 years in real estate. I started out answering phones as a teenager at the front desk of an office and ended up transitioning into real estate education. Oh gosh, it's been quite a few years now, but maybe 10 years ago, no, more than that. A long time ago, my husband took a job transfer to Sydney. So we lived in Sydney for 4 years. So I was in Neutral Bay actually for 4 years and worked with Bell Property. And that was kind of a really exciting time of, you know, in the world because social media was just starting and everything was going digital online. And so that kind of pushed me into what I do now, which is consulting and education based on marketing, storytelling, and education. So I work with a lot of companies all over North America on creating better education for their agents. And with consulting clients, I work with a ton of people who want to create better marketing, tell better stories, and create better content.
Mm. You're an amazing content creator yourself. Like, I'm a religious reader of your newsletter in the rearview mirror. And we're going to get into that a little bit later because I love your approach to email marketing. And I think that there's a lot that agents can learn from it. But before we get into that, what's the situation in Canada at the moment with coronavirus? Like, what's the situation for you at the moment? Because you'd normally be traveling all over the country. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm in a really weird place right now because I am in the process of moving from Canada to the US and I'm in the process of buying a house in the US. And that's all on pause, obviously. So I've been in the process for months of moving back to America, close to my family, after being based in Canada for better part of 20 years. So such a weird time to be moving back to America, like bizarre. Yeah. But so everything's on hold. And I'm actually in the US right now, house sitting for my grandmother. And I'm in a state that is in complete and total lockdown. So real estate is non-essential here. We cannot leave the home other than for essential reasons, for emergencies. So yeah, it's a weird place because every state in America is in a different situation. Some are full lockdown, some are business as usual, kind of. And then Canada's in a place that's sort of similar to Australia where, you know, being a Commonwealth, they're sort of all like, we're all in this together and we're all going to stay home and we're going to hold hands and we're going to be okay. So it's very interesting to see everybody respond to it differently. But where I am right now, yeah, unfortunately, it is full on stay home. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah. How are some of your clients or how are some of the realtors in that area at the moment dealing with total lockdown? Because that's, for us, that's New Zealand. They've been in total lockdown for 3 weeks.
Here we're on week five. And there's a range of emotions. I think the first week you kind of go through denial and panic, and then you get to stability, and then you think, okay, now how do I adapt? How do I change the way that I do business? So a lot more people are doing video. A lot of people are kind of embracing digital content, digital signatures, figuring out how to meet with their clients virtually, show property virtually. You know, they're doing open for inspections over a camera. I think people are in sort of adapting mode. It is very frustrating because if you cannot physically meet with your clients, if you can't show the property, the likelihood of selling a property is low. So a lot of, you know, we're seeing a huge decrease in sales right now. But the, I think the good news is that we know that while we don't know when this is going to end, we know it's temporary and that at some point we will come out of this. And we think that we'll come out of this, you know, with just this huge sigh of relief, and everyone will be ready to sort of get back to it. So, you know, we're heading into our, we're in our spring season and heading into our summer season here. So normally this would be the busiest time of the year. This would be the big money maker for a lot of real estate agents, that spring market. It is quite scary, but it's also caused a lot of people to take stock of what they're doing and what they're spending money on and how they're spending their time and how they're accomplishing their goals. And I think that some really good stuff will come out of it.
Yeah, I do too, actually. And it reminds me, just back to your newsletter, this week's newsletter, you told a story about caterpillars and butterflies, which I read that and I thought that is just so appropriate for now. So just for the guys that are not subscribers of your newsletter, can you tell that story?
Yeah. So I was on a call with some of my mentors about a month ago, and we were talking about this idea of change and disruption and what is happening to all of us. And it wasn't a real estate related call, just sort of everybody on the call is in a position of creating stuff. And the comment was made that it's really interesting, the study of a butterfly, in that when a butterfly is a caterpillar, they don't just decide one day to become a butterfly. They don't sort of wake up and go, you know, I might try something different.
Yeah.
It actually happens to them. Change is foisted upon them and they change without choosing it. I thought what was really interesting is the speaker went on to say, you know, change happens to us, but growth is optional. We get to choose how we handle that. And he went on to say, you know, right now in this situation that we're in, we can choose to either be in a cocoon or we can be an observatory. And in a cocoon, we're changing, we're adapting, we're evolving, we're ready for when the day comes that the sun comes up. And in an observatory, that we're just sitting there watching it happen and we're not doing anything to sort of adapt to our new surroundings. And the question was, what are we going to be? How will we have changed on the day that the sun comes up? Because there will be a day where we get back to work. And how will we have come out of this different and better adapted to change? I just thought that was so impactful and had to share it in my newsletter because it was something that made me think, yes, like I need to focus on that every day.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think at the moment there's probably, I was talking to one of the coaches the other day and he mentioned there are three groups of agents right now. There are agents that, you know, caterpillars turning into butterflies in the observatory and looking out and seeing what is next and how they can adapt. There are some that are sort of sitting there with a wait and see kind of attitude. And then there are some that have just gone into a little bit of emu ostrich mode, you know, and like, this is not happening. But, you know, I made the comment to someone the other day, like what this has done is it's forced us into a period where we must change. Like digital is not an option anymore, where we might have gone along for another 5 years or so, dipping our toe into virtual inspections and dipping our toe into email marketing and dipping our toe into making video. I mean, that's one of the things that some agents really don't like because they don't like the sound of themselves or they don't like how they look. But all of this now, coronavirus has made this non-optional.
But I think the really great thing about it right now, and I was talking to someone earlier about this, is in a time of chaos and crisis, we have more permission to fail. People are a little more reasonable right now if you're doing a Zoom call and your kids are running around or your cat is meowing or you have technical difficulties or your video isn't perfect or you're making mistakes. People are so much more forgiving because we're all going through that at the same time. We're all having to figure it out. So now's actually a really good time to take risks and try new things because if it's not perfect, no one's going to blame you. It's not going to be like, oh, how could you have done that? They're going to think, yeah, you're giving it a crack. So that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. This sort of time brings out really good in some people and really bad in some people. And I think I saw one of your social media posts a couple of weeks ago that sort of said, look, obviously put yourself out there and do these things that are going to be helpful. What are some of the do's and don'ts do you feel on social media for agents right now?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing the really good and we're seeing the really, really terrible right now. I think that early on, you know, maybe 5 weeks ago, we were starting to see a lot more terrible. I think people have really kind of ramped down the sarcastic memes and the snarky comments. But I think the good stuff is really where people are helping. They're focusing on what they can do to help the people they can with the resources they have right now, highlighting their local businesses and their communities and figuring out how to just offer reassurance and humanity and kindness. And I'm seeing a lot of that. And I think that's amazing. I think we really have to step back from selling right now and really serve and help instead, more so than ever. I think the bad, you know, it ranges from saying things like, this is no big deal, it's business as usual, call me, you know, like the whole, like, look at me, I'm amazing, I'm so great that I'm still selling in the middle of all of this. You know, even if you are, you know, you can ramp that way down right now and just really take a step back from all of that self-applauding. I think the other stuff that I'm always encouraging people to avoid right now is making comments that are really broad that may hurt other people right now. I think, you know, seeing a lot of comments like, you know, this competitor's laying people off, but we're not, so we're amazing. Mm. And those are human beings. Those are lives. Those are jobs. Those are families. And, you know, now's not the time to talk about how great we are in comparison to the other companies that maybe aren't weathering this as well. And just seeing a lot of that right now around here in the US, you know, like we've seen a lot of companies that have been very visible and very disruptive in the industry have been laying people off and have had to furlough people and retrench. And that's painful to see. And that's, you know, that's scary for those people. And then to see other agents that are like, yeah, look at us, you know, like we're ramping it up. And I just think, no, that's not what we should be doing. Right now is not the time to be talking about how great we are in comparison to people that are struggling.
Mm. This current issue of the magazine, we kind of pulled it back a bit because by the time you hit print on something that you wrote a couple of months ago, it's very easy to end up what I would call tone deaf. You know, because normally we would write about growth story after growth story. I mean, these days it's kind of, you know, adaptation after adaptation, but I think there are a lot of people doing it tough right now. And so, yeah, going out there about how great you are is probably not a good move.
People really enjoy human stories right now. So stuff that makes people smile and laugh and have some hope, I think that's amazing stuff to be sharing on social media. But my best advice for people when they're wondering, what should I put in my marketing, is just ask yourself, is this right now? You know, even if it worked a month ago or even last week, stuff is changing so quickly. You know, be prepared to change your strategy or delete something or walk it back or get a second set of eyes on it and ask yourself, is this going to work right now for what people are experiencing?
Yeah, because when this is over, you don't want someone scrolling back through your Facebook feed and thinking, wow, that was really tone deaf back at that time. That is great advice. So you're a keynote speaker and you travel around a lot. And one of your famous topics is you're a weirdo. Can you tell us about why it is good to be a weirdo?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite topics, actually, that kind of came from a quote from another keynote speaker who is not in the real estate space. And she's famous for saying, different is better than better. When I first heard that a couple of years ago, it really struck me. And I remember thinking, you know, that's interesting because I've been in real estate for 2 decades and I've been hearing for 2 decades this kind of this lie that says, if you want to beat your competition, you have to be better than them. And when you really think about it, you realize that the truth is, if you want to beat your competition, you have to be different. And I really started thinking, you know, what does that mean? And it kind of comes down to being weird, being willing to try something and do something that other people aren't. And, you know, the world is full of crazy stories of people who did really weird things and became normal. Like the guys that put the air mattresses on the floor of their apartment 12 years ago and started charging $80 a night for someone to sleep on their floor. And now, you know, Airbnb is worth however many billions of dollars. That company, that idea literally came from something that was so weird. The idea of someone spending money to sleep on your floor was weird at the time. And now it's completely and totally normal. And it's in fact a massive industry. So, you know, when we start to apply that idea, I love the idea of what makes you weird. What are the things that make you different and interesting and funny and creative? And all of those things can be funneled into something that makes your business unique and special and memorable.
Like, let's talk about your newsletter, for example, because you put a lot of you into your newsletter. And in fact, it's called in the rearview mirror, but in the fine print at the top, it says your monthly love letter from Valerie Garcia. And it is, mm-hmm. It is literally, you know, you can feel the love in the way that you write that newsletter. And there's a lot of you, there's a lot of stories about everything from where you've been to who you've talked to baking to butterflies. Well, see, there you go. I've just rattled off probably your last six newsletters, and they're very memorable because they tell stories. So the thing is like, if I was an agent and I wanted to start telling stories in my newsletter, where do you start? Obviously, you started somewhere. So if you're an agent, how do you translate that?
I've been a huge storyteller all my life. I've always been someone that finds real value in stories. And I think that's played a big role in becoming an educator, because we as adults, we learn best through stories. We remember stories. When someone says, oh, remember this time, we remember those. And so storytelling has always been a really big part of how I work. So 3 years ago, when I started my own consulting business, I decided that one of the ways I wanted to reach out to my people was through a newsletter, but I wanted it to be more letter than news. And I really wanted it to feel like you were opening a letter that you got in the post, and, you know, you open an envelope and you get a piece of paper out and you read it. And so I made a commitment really early on to make sure that those newsletters sounded like you were talking to me. And I've learned a lot by doing that. I've learned, first of all, that it's so much easier to market when you are yourself, because you don't have to worry about trying to sound like someone you're not. So when you get my newsletter, it does. It sounds exactly like the way that I speak and the way that I joke and the way that I tell stories. And I really wanted it to feel like a love letter to my people, that they're getting something that was built with love. And over the years, I've found that I teach a lot of people a lot about creating newsletters, and I do classes on it now, because I get a lot of the same questions from people. And one of the things that I advise people is that I don't just sit down on the third Thursday of the month every week and come up with all of this. Like, I keep notes. I have a folder on my desktop that's labeled stuff. Like, literally, stuff. It's called stuff. Yep. And I dump ideas in there all the time, every day. I'll see an image that makes me laugh, or I'll hear a joke, or I'll find a quote. And I'll just dump them all in that folder. And so when it comes time to write my newsletter, I open that folder up and I pick out the pieces that feel like what I want to share that month. And sometimes I have extra ideas, and that's great. I carry those over. And so I always tell people, you know, if you're putting pressure on yourself to just sit down and write all of this, you know, start by compiling some things that really meant something to you, resonated with you. Chances are, if they made you laugh, or they were interesting to you, or, you know, it was something that you were like, oh, I want to know more about that, then chances are other people will feel the same way. I challenge people to not write about listings and open houses and sold so much. And it's okay to share those. But I think what people really want to get when they open their mail is good news and something fun and something interesting and something that they can then over dinner say to their partner, hey, did you hear this? I heard this today, or I learned this. You know, we all want that something interesting to talk about with people around us. Those are some helpful hints to get started. You know, just not put pressure on yourself to market like you speak and to start simple. I think that, you know, that's really key. And what's interesting about email right now, especially in the middle of all of this crisis and situation that we're in, is that now is the best time to launch an email newsletter because people have control of their email. It's something they can subscribe to. It's something they can delete, something they can reply to. And that's the unique experience because on social media right now, everything's controlled by an algorithm. We don't get to control what we see. We don't get to control how often stuff shows up in our feed, but we can control what we get in our email. So now's a really great time to reach out and be human in email.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so too, because someone asked me a question about letterbox dropping the other day. And I guess where you are right now, letterbox dropping is just out of the question because you couldn't even put exercise gear on and pretend you were out for a walk. That just wouldn't work. But instead of that, having a newsletter or something like that that actually goes to people now is a really great time to start that. But sometimes starting is a real problem. And I noticed in your newsletter, you've got a very distinctive structure. So you have a little bit of what you've been doing for the month, and then you have some links and generally a story or something like that. Do you recommend that agents kind of get their structure sorted before, you know, starting to type?
Yeah, I do. And I work with a lot of people who are just starting out, and I help them put that structure together because it looks different for everyone. But I do recommend having a template because it helps you to sort of keep your newsletter consistent, but it also helps you to know what exactly you need every month to put in there. So I start with a bit of a story from my traveling, and then I do something that I learned this month. And then my last section is all of the things that are making me smile or that I've been putting on sticky notes this month. So I have links to things like, this is music I'm listening to, and here are books that I've read, and here's a great recipe, and this was a really funny TED talk. And, you know, and so when I follow that template every month, I know I need a funny story or an interesting story. I need something that I've learned, and I need some links. And so when I have that in my mind, it makes it so much easier for me to go in and pull stuff out of my stuff folder. And I'm not recreating the wheel every month. It's consistent, and it makes it so much easier for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Oftentimes with something like the brief, which we do 3 or 4 times a week, we will collate stuff during the day, and then I'll get up in the morning and then finish writing, usually giving away a secret, whatever I feel like. But it is like a well-oiled machine that kind of cranks out every so often. For people that don't write so much, what are your tips for getting over writer's block?
Well, the best tip for getting over writer's block is to write. I know that sounds simple, but it's true. Also, I think the best thing you can do is write without editing first. Just get all your ideas out, drop it in a, you know, a Word doc, or talk to your phone and do a voice memo. The other thing to remember is that a newsletter, there's no rules. So if you don't like to write, you could put a video in there. You could embed a video of you talking, and you could share the information verbally. You could put a sound clip in there, and it could be your voice, and you could be saying or telling those stories instead of typing them all out. I also find that sometimes people struggle with writing because they don't like talking about themselves. So focusing on other people, telling the story of someone else, hey, I learned this, or I heard someone else say this week. And I really kind of get over that by sharing links too, you know, like, here, check this out, you know, here's a bunch of links. And so it doesn't require a lot of writing. It's just an interesting intro. It doesn't also have to be huge. That's the thing. Like, Seth Godin puts a blog out every day that's like 4 sentences long. It doesn't need to be this giant thing, you know? It could be 2 paragraphs and a couple of links. Don't put pressure on yourself to make it look a certain way because you think that's how it needs to look.
Yeah. And what would you say to real estate agents that think that they must always write about real estate?
Oh, please don't. Nobody wants to read that. I mean, sometimes they want to read a little bit about that, but the reality is that most people want to read stuff that's relatable to them. And if I'm not in the property market right now, you know, and you're only sending me stuff about property, chances are I'm going to scroll through it, or I'm going to delete it, and I'm going to start ignoring it when it comes in. So share stuff that makes you smile. Talk about things that are going on in your community. Highlight really awesome people in your community. Show a local shop and talk about their history. One of the things that I love, there's an agent in New Orleans in the States, and she has a section of her newsletter every month where she highlights one of the streets in town, and she tells the story of how that street got its name. So sometimes it's really interesting. You know, it was named after a family that was, you know, original to the town. And just finding those little tidbits that's super random and interesting and stuff you want to tell other people about. So yeah, please take the pressure off yourself for it to be all real estate all the time.
Yeah. So this is sounding like a good dinner party that I want to be at. Like, yes. So thinking about the conversations that you might have like at a really good dinner party.
Exactly. Like, here's a cool recipe. This is a great place I went and had dinner the other night. Here's somebody interesting that you should totally be following. Here's a link to a great podcast. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. Conversation.
Yeah. Look, obviously, I think agents should totally be following you. So we're going to leave some links and things like that in the show notes for this. But if you were still an agent right now and you wanted to start an email list, but you've got nobody on your email list, can you recommend some ways of list building that would be really good for right now?
Sure. Chances are you can start with your friends and family. That's always a good place to start. It's a real safe place to land in the beginning.
Yep.
Chances are your family's not going to criticize too much, but you know, I think you can start small. It doesn't need to be this huge list. I think, you know, you can start with people that you're connected to on social media and post hey, I'm going to start a great newsletter. It's going to be super fun. I'm going to share some things that I really enjoy. Sign up and give them a link so that they can go and drop their email in your subscribe. And that's the really cool thing about using a tool like MailChimp. It's free. And you can have a subscribe button that you can embed on your website or in social media, and people can sign up and subscribe. So just inviting people to join and subscribe, I think, is a great place to start. Don't feel like you have to start with hundreds of people. If you start with 10 or 20, you can grow it. I grew my newsletter in the last 10 years from zero to 10,000 simply by just putting it out every month and saying, hey, newsletter goes out next week. If you aren't getting it, sign up. And people sign up. So, you know, it takes time, and that's okay. You want to build it gradually, because if you go and you download everyone you're connected with on LinkedIn and you take that list and you dump it in, chances are you're not only contravening some sort of spam mail legislation, but you're also going to get a bunch of people on there that aren't interested, and they're going to unsubscribe or they're going to mark it spam, and you don't want that. So build it gradually.
Yeah, because that's going to affect your overall deliverability and stuff like that.
That's right.
Yeah. Are there any favorite tools that you've got at the moment? You just mentioned MailChimp. Are there any other tools that...
I'm a huge Canva fan. I could not live without Canva. Like, God bless them. Best tool maybe ever created. I love Canva. I love PicMonkey, which is just PicMonkey. Both of those tools I use to design all of the stuff that goes into my newsletters and all of my social media sites. So great templates there. If you're not super techie or a graphic designer, you can still create really beautiful things using those tools. So big fan of those. Big fan of MailChimp. I've been using that for my newsletter for years. Actually just migrated my newsletter out of MailChimp because my mailing list got too big. So yeah, those are some of my favorites. Oh, my big secret favorite, though, I will tell everyone, is photos. I get those from Unsplash. So my favorite photo site is Unsplash, Unsplash. And if you're looking for really great photos to use in your newsletters, your blogs, your social media sites, it's a really great place to find beautiful photos that are completely free and high resolution and gorgeous.
And you're not going to get nicked for copyright, for copy.
That's
or,
right.
Yeah, copyright. That's it. I was thinking about copywriting and then, yeah, but it is definitely copyright that you can get in trouble for. At the moment, you've probably got a bit more time for reading and things like that. Are there any good books that you'd recommend for agents at the moment?
You sent me that question in advance, and I thought, oh my gosh, that list is like hundreds long. So I had a really hard time narrowing it down. But three books that have really had a huge impact on my business. The first one is TED Talks by Chris Anderson. He is the founder of TED Talks, and he wrote a really great book called TED Talks about what it takes to tell a really great story from stage. That book just changed my life, because whether or not you're on stage or you're telling a story in writing, learning to edit down and get to the meat of a story and have a really good storytelling rhythm is so important. And so that book was amazing. Another book that I found that really changed the way I look at things is Seth Godin's This Is Marketing. If you haven't read that book, oh my gosh, he really just breaks down how to market and how to talk about what it is that you do. And the third book that's probably had the biggest impact on my business is Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. And he tells this really great story in that book about marketing from the perspective of your customer is a hitchhiker. And, you know, when you pull up alongside a hitchhiker, their only question is, where are you going? And yet, as marketers, so often we pull up alongside the hitchhiker and we say, look how great my car is. My grandfather helped build it. You know, it's a family business. And, you know, look at the leather seats and listen to my playlist. And the hitchhiker is simply saying, where are you going and can you help me get there? So from the perspective of a marketer, you know, remembering that when we talk to our customers, the number one thing they want to know is, where are you going and can you help me get where I'm going? And that just had a profound effect on the way that I market and the way that I tell stories.
That's really powerful stuff, actually. You know, and again, like it brings to mind some of the stories that you've told. One of the really powerful stories was a while ago. It was about your mobile phone. You just had to change because you were moving. You had to change your actual whole phone number. Yeah, really interesting story because, you know, like I always have things to say about the phone companies here too.
Yeah, the telecoms, the companies we love to hate.
Yeah, but, you know, again, it was just a little story about moving where everybody paid you attention as soon as they thought that you were going to leave, whereas they had 10 years prior to actually pay you some attention. And I think that's a really powerful lesson as well. There's so much great stuff in your newsletters. I hope the guys listening in look you up and subscribe. What does the next 12 months look like for you once lockdown is lifted?
Well, I mean, nobody has a crystal ball. What is coming next? I've found that I've started to miss people a lot. And I typically am traveling a lot. I usually do about 90 flights a year and about 40 or 50 events a year. And so all of that's come to a screeching halt the last couple of weeks. And so I'm really looking forward to the day where I can get back on the road and be around people. I think other than that, yeah, I think this is going to be such a great opportunity to change the way we talk. You know, just marketing has really changed a lot in the last couple of weeks for people that are kind of paying attention to how companies are marketing right now, how human they're trying to be, how much empathy they're trying to show. And it'll be interesting to see how much of that carries into our industry long term. So I mean, 12 months for me, you know, I have a bunch of projects that I'll be launching, some online teachings, some online marketing courses. This has really been the kick that I needed to sort of launch some of that virtually. So a lot of that stuff coming, but I think some keynotes that are going to come out of this are going to be really interesting around the idea of marketing through chaos and storytelling in the times of change. So I'm kind of excited to change up the messaging from just prospecting for leads and how do we be more human in times of change.
Mm. This is really amazing time to take stock and think about your why and think about what you want life to look like. Post-pandemic. Well, Valerie, it's been amazing catching up with you and amazing talking to you. And there's been so much great advice in this chat for other people who might be listening. If there was one thing that you would like people to remember or do as a result of listening to this, what would it be?
Remember that you always have an audience, even when you're not on stage. I think we're in a very interesting time right now where everything we do is amplified and means more and is a little bit louder than normally would be. So just being very careful to examine the things that we're putting out there in terms of content and stories and making sure that we are serving our people instead of selling. I think all of those are really good, helpful tips for right now.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to tell a good story.
That's right.
Absolutely. Valerie Garcia, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.